I mean, this is the last stand.
You're listening to The Unfiltered.
Well, I hate to say I told you so.
There's nothing to be done besides to get on Twitter and tweet to all my dumbass followers.
But I told you so.
Hey, I told you so.
The controversial.
He's a dumbass.
He can't do math.
He's an idiot.
He gets his haircut at Walmart. Look at that shitty haircut.
The realest podcast in the Southeast.
Let the dogs loose. Let the goons be goons. 11 in a row. 11 in a row. 11 in a row.
Enough.
38 in a row. As in 38 unanswered points when we were whipping that ass.
Ranch gang, stand up. The holy war is upon us. Welcome to Reed's Ranch, the podcast with Seth Hughes.
Like, just quit acting like this is any fun at all.
Another edition of Reed's Ranch coming at you Monday, April 5th. I know I'm getting old because my first thought was, wow, it's already April. The year's flying by. Seth Hughes joins me down in Alabama. What's up, Seth?
Not much, Brother John. Happy to be here. Happy to be with you.
We got some revenge for you, buddy. We got some revenge for you this weekend as our Tennessee baseball team went down to Alabama and kicked some ass.
They did. Huge, huge series win. They pretty much had to win this series for the next two, I think. They pretty much just quit Friday night after they gave up the lead, and then they responded by Saturday winning in extra innings against Alabama's ace, and then yesterday taking game three. They won a road series against a team that like 3 or 4 weeks ago was ranked. Alabama was ranked not too long ago. So they're not terrible. It's like Vitello said in his post-game interview after game two, that ace for Alabama, number 25, the black kid from Texas, like he's going to be a second or third round pick. And Tennessee didn't play very well at all and still took two out of three.
Left about a million men on base.
Yep, left about a million men on base, made tons of errors, did not have very good pitching from Blade Tidwell or Chad Dallas. Our number three was actually our best pitcher on the weekend, Will Heflin, on the Saturday game. He was lights out for five innings, gave up one home run. But they didn't play very well and still got the win. So it's about to get real serious starting Friday night.
Yep, got Florida and then Vandy at home the next two weekends. Got some favorable scheduling.
Yes.
Getting these guys at home. But all right, baseball team. I was a little worried after we hyped them up that they're going to come out and lay an egg this series after they lost on Friday. But they did not. They did not. They came out. They bounced back one Saturday, one Sunday. Another series win. Chalk it up. Ho-hum. 7-2 in the SEC. Top five in the country on some polls. Number six in the D1 baseball poll, which is funny because like every team is in the SEC. We're top six in the country and number five in the SEC, which is absurd. It's like your recruiting days when you look at like signing day. Oh, wow, Tennessee has a top 10 class. Oh, great, it's seventh in the SEC.
Yeah, it's pretty rough. It's pretty rough. I mean, they're going to have their chance to really prove, you know, how good they are with the number 12 team coming to town this weekend, the number one team coming to town next weekend, and I believe they also get Arkansas at home as well, you know.
They do.
So we do have to go on the road to South Carolina to maybe end conference play.
I believe that is correct.
But they do get some nice games at home. It would be cool if, you know, more people could go. It would be very cool. But, you know, at least we get these next two games at home. I think the goal should be in the next six conference games going 3-3 overall.
Okay.
Which to me means you win the series this weekend and then you beat Vandy on Sunday.
We're trying to get to 10-5.
Yep. And then, of course, they also announced that whatever the top 16 teams are, at the end of April, those 16 teams get to host a regional. So, typically, you know, if you go 15-15 in conference, you're going to get to host a regional. Obviously, that's expedited a little bit this year because you're not going to have the whole conference schedule, you know, played by the end of April. But Tennessee's sitting at 10-5, then, you know, Tennessee's going to be one of those 16 teams picked. My question is like, you know, when the regionals and the super regionals are chosen. So what if, like, the 8th seed at that point, they're going to get slotted for a regional super regional. But, like, by the time the season is over, the 9 and the 8th seed is swapped. The 8th seed still gets the home series, but, like, does the 9 seed that's now vaulted them and is really the 8th seed, do they get to be, like...
I'd imagine they'll be the home team.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. They got to be, right?
Yeah, so, they'll be the home team.
So, you know, Tennessee
and
keeps...
And I saw that some of these regionals might not even have the teams there.
Yes, correct.
At least, like, in the super, yeah, like, you know, at least, like, in, you know, if they end up not making the tournament, they could, you know, still have to host.
Yeah. Which, I mean, that does seem like it's unlikely to happen if you're a top 16 team at the end of April, not even making the tournament seems unlikely, but.
Crazier things have happened.
So that got announced as well.
So there's your baseball update. The Vols keep rolling. Love Big Tony V. Basketball. We got us a pretty good transfer, I think, with the 6'6" Justin Powell from Louisville, went to Auburn for a year, now ends up at Tennessee in Knoxville.
Yeah, so if I had had to, and I know, like, I felt a little dumb that we didn't even talk about him last week. And the reason that I didn't even bring him up was because he transferred, like, a month ago. He transferred before, like, the NCAA tournament even started. He put his name in the portal. If I had to make a list of top 5 transfers I wanted, Justin Powell would have been, like, at the top with the kid from Davidson. That was a guy that I wanted extremely badly. You know, there might have been other guys out there that were better, like Fats Russell from Rhode Island or wherever. But, like, guys that I thought that, you know, were in the Southeast or, like, had ties to Tennessee that I thought UT could get, it would have been Powell and Grady at Davidson. And Grady went to Kentucky, and we got Powell. He was top 50 on the ESPN NBA draft board in January. He shot about 45% from three. And I think he averaged like 12, 6, and 4.
11.7 points, 6.1 rebounds, 4.7 assists. He did have a couple monster games when he had first started switching over to point guard. Against South Alabama and Memphis, where he had 26 points, 8 rebounds, and 26 points, 9 assists. So he can do it all. Now, I will say his last 4 games of the season before he got concussed and shut down.
Yeah.
Had started struggling a little bit. Was 4 of 22 whenever they got into, you know, a couple games in SEC play and, you know, their last couple non-conference games. So whenever I saw that he got injured, I was thinking it might have been like a shoulder injury or something. Like, since, like, his shooting had, like, just fallen off. But, you know, it was a concussion. So maybe just a little slump, but either way, had some big games against Memphis, South Alabama. Respectable games against, like, St. Joe's and, like, Texas Southern or something like that. Like, kid can do a lot. He's not just a shooter, as we said. Can handle the ball, can rebound. And I think that, you know, he might be our best player at the beginning of next year. That's kind of what I think about it. I wouldn't be surprised if he was our best player next year. At the beginning.
That's what I was about to point that out. You know, you had said on Saturday, I believe, that it seemed like he was our best player. And I think of the guys that are currently on the team, and I include Justin Powell, I think he is our best player. I think it was a tremendous pickup by Rick Barnes. It was exactly what UT needed, I thought. Like, UT desperately needed a shooter and a point guard. They have the stud point guard. And now they have the shooter, but he can do a lot more than shoot. He can even play point guard. You know, you're not going to have to play Vescovi at point guard again. Hopefully Rick puts Powell at point guard.
Yeah, and if Chandler, you know, is struggling at the beginning, or Chandler needs to go to the bench, like, yeah, you should be able to put Powell at point. Like, you should be able to play one of these two guys.
You know, it's never been said why he transferred. My feeling was, I thought about a week or 10 days before he transferred, I had seen something that made me think he was, like, going to, that he was very unhappy at Auburn. And I wonder if the family was just very, like, they were mad at Auburn's medical staff. And you saw some Kentucky fans talk about how his dad likes to get involved and his dad's a headache or whatever. And so, like, Auburn never said anything about it, about why he wasn't playing again. Like, they never came out and said anything other than, like, he wasn't over his concussion. The concussion happened, like, at the end of December, I believe.
It was January 2nd. Well, January 2nd was his last game. I don't know if it happened against A&M.
So it was January 2nd.
That was his last game, yep.
And he never played again, and Auburn never really came out and said anything, and nobody ever said anything, and it was very weird. And I had seen something talking about how somebody at Auburn that was hurt and not playing, that Auburn's medical staff wasn't really handling it correctly. And Cooper was out at that point, too, but I was sure it wasn't Cooper because, like, Cooper had just gotten hurt. Cooper had been playing all the time, and, like, Cooper, you know, like, if Cooper was upset about Auburn's medical staff, it didn't really matter. He was going pro, which made me think it was Powell, so I wasn't really surprised when he was transferring. But, I mean, he is a legit NBA prospect.
Yeah, I mean, if you're 6'6" and can hit 44% of your threes, yeah. I mean, as long as you can do anything else on the court, you will be an NBA prospect. And, you know, again, can rebound, can pass, can dribble. I don't know what type of defender he is. I don't know. I would imagine that's low on his priority, but just because I haven't seen anybody talk about it.
Yeah, I haven't seen anybody brag about his defense. Which,
and in 10 games at lower level, against lower level competition, how much would you really know about it anyways? But, you know, that's Tennessee should have the at least a top two backcourt next year in the SEC.
Yeah, I will say this, you know, we didn't see anybody talking about his defense. I didn't see anyone say, like, this dude sucks at defending.
Right, right, right.
Which is good. And he's big. He's got size.
Yeah, you know, he's 6'6". I mean, he is going to...
So it's not like he's undersized. Like, he's at least going to take up some space. But yeah, I think Tennessee's going to have a really good backcourt next year. Like, a really good backcourt.
Did you watch any of Kenny Chandler this weekend in his national championship tournament?
I watched the first half.
Yeah. Not much to say about it. I did think he made some really nice passes. Like, I do think he has a really good feel for the game.
In the first half, like, he made some passes that were so much better than anything anybody for our team made this year.
I'm glad you noticed that, too, because that's what, that, you know, offensively, he didn't do much. Like, every now and then, he'd, like, go fifth gear and get to the rim and lay it up. But, like, I was really impressed just with his passing.
Yeah, and it wasn't even, like, it was passes he made look easy that, like, the current Tennessee roster would not have made in a million years.
100%. Like, coming down the baseline, one hand, whip it out to the wing, right on the money. Like, those are NBA passes. So that got me pretty excited. And then, you know, we get the shooter earlier in that day, and I'm just like, yeah, if you're passing that out to a 44% shooter, like, that's going to – he's going to have some huge games. Like, that's going to be a pretty good duo.
And it sounds like Chandler was a reason why Powell decided to come to UT.
Yeah, I saw that quote that basically said Powell said that Chandler had been texting him nonstop about trying to win a national championship.
It is, like, unfortunate that the previous time they had played, Chandler just, like, absolutely took over the game.
I don't think it was the previous time. I think it was the first time they played.
Okay, the first time they played. It sucks that, like, he didn't, like, that wasn't the game that was nationally televised.
Yeah. He had hit a three to go into overtime, and actually, like, that was the first loss they'd had in years or something like that.
Yeah. So
the announcers were raving about Chandler, though. Like, they acted like, you know, he's a stud. And, I mean, he is
the number one point guard on Rivals and ESPN, right? And then on 24/7, he's the number two, I think, behind the kid from Alabama, from Davison, Alabama, that's going to Alabama. Maybe he's the number two point guard on Rivals.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought that guy from Alabama was ranked higher than him, but it was close. But I don't know which.
He's number two on Rivals as well.
Okay.
He's the number. But the number one point guard on Rivals is Hunter Salas that just committed to Gonzaga. And I thought he was a shooting guard.
That's a kid from Minnesota, right?
Nebraska.
Oh, that's right.
So.
Chet Holmgren's from Minnesota.
Yes.
If I was Minnesota, I'd be very sick. We lost Jalen Suggs and Chet Holmgren.
Yeah. I think it was. Was it Paul Biancardi that was calling the game? Like, he was absolutely just over the moon about Kenny Chandler. Kenny Chandler is the number one point guard on ESPN.
Okay. No, I mean, he looks good, and like I said, I liked his feel for the game. he had talented teammates. He was playing against a good team, so it wasn't like one of those situations where he's just trying to take over. I thought he showed that he has a really good feel. That'll be fun. That'll be fun to watch. Good news for Tennessee basketball.
Which I guess is a good segue into the new assistant coach that Rick just hired.
I don't know much about this guy. Tell the people.
Rod Clark. He was an assistant coach at Austin Peay.
When you initially tell me that, that doesn't get me too excited, although I know that...
The year before that, he was an assistant coach at Illinois Chicago. He came from Sunrise Christian, which is where Kendi Chandler plays. That team, as we saw on Saturday, is loaded with talent, absolutely loaded with talent. I assume they will be loaded with talent every year.
Yeah, I would imagine so.
Like, I know in starting five, you had a five-star committed to Tennessee, a five-star committed to Baylor, and then two top 40 players.
One was going to Kansas, right? Wasn't the white guy going to Kansas?
The tall white guy's going to Kansas. The other white guy is like a top 20 player. He's a junior. He's also committed to Kansas.
Okay. It's good to have ends there. I mean, that should pay dividends in the next couple of years.
So that seems to be like a budding powerhouse in basketball. And he had got the Austin Peay job from Illinois Chicago because a guy from Sunrise Christian had signed with Austin Peay like the previous year or the year before or something. So that's how he got hooked up there. And so he came to UT. He was also the like head coach of a top AAU, top Midwest AAU team before that.
Okay.
So he should. It's definitely a guy that like they hired for his connections. So.
Yep. So he's there to recruit. Let's go. Line it up, recruit. Which, by the way, that five-star from Baylor, he looks like a Baylor player, but, man, he couldn't dribble.
Yeah.
He could not dribble. He was making me so mad. Like, he kept trying to go behind the back and kept turning it over. And then I turned it off. Then I was like, okay, enough high school basketball. This is brutal. That first half was awful to watch.
Yeah, I watched the first half and then fell asleep. Like, it's just not that. High school basketball is just not exciting. I mean, I don't care how many players Monteverde has.
I just wanted to watch a little Chandler. I liked what I saw, and I was like, okay, I'm turning something else on. Well, it's good we got good basketball news because our football program, Seth, I declare, is at rock bottom.
It's pretty much, it's beyond being in shambles.
It's as bad as it's ever been. We won three games. We have zero recruits. Keep in mind, it's the best in-state recruiting class maybe ever. We got zero recruits. You lost the five-star in-state quarterback to Alabama, your biggest rival.
The five-star defensive tackle just released a top eight that you're not in.
You couldn't even make his MySpace top eight. It didn't even give you the pity inclusion. And, you know, keep in mind, I'm not blaming him, but, like, you know, the only guy on our staff that we feel good about recruiting is Ronnie Garner, right? Like, and I mean, like, he couldn't even get a top nine. And, you know, he coaches defensive line. So, I mean, that's bad.
And his head coach is Marlon Walls.
And his head coach is a former Vol who once threatened to beat up my friend. It was bad. It was bad.
I bet Marlon Walls could whip some ass.
Yeah, he would have. Yeah, my friend did not want to fight him, obviously. He did not. He did not want those problems. And none of us wanted him to fight him either. So they didn't fight. That's good. But we combined that with, you know, we already got linebacking depth issues, and now one of the few guys on the team that's left at linebacker is taking beat the pussy up way, way, way too literally as he has given a little kitten brain damage. The headlines we got, and then you add Brandon Davis into that, well, actually, he didn't shoot himself. Somebody on the team shot him.
I didn't shoot myself, man. My teammate did.
No, he didn't snitch. No, Brandon Davis did not snitch. Please, Brandon, we know you didn't snitch. The police said, Seth, that all Brandon wanted to say was that he wanted to be very clear he did not shoot himself.
Okay, so he didn't tell them his teammate did.
Yep, nope, he never snitched, he never named anybody. He simply said, just please know I did not shoot myself. I did not Cheddar Bob myself with my own gun. It was not me. And the cops were like, you know what? We believe you.
Shout out to Brother Brandon for not being a rat. And who is Brandon Davis?
He is now a community college player. Either there's some discrepancy whether or not he plays in Texas or in Kansas. I thought he was playing at Garden City Community College over in Kansas. And then producer Hayden had told me he's actually in Texas. So I don't know. He transferred out. He's no longer with us. But he ain't no rat.
And then, of course, we have Aaron Beasley gave a cat brain damage for getting into his wings that he was about to eat.
Oh, yeah. I haven't read that new article that David Ubbin, friend of the podcast, friend of the Ranch Gang, posted, but I did see that headline that basically the girl says the cat ate the guy's wing, so he gave a cat brain damage.
I mean, like, what is there even to say about this?
It's rock bottom, bro. And we didn't even get to the point of our quarterback, or hopeful quarterback of the future, who, you know, is suspended from being around someone getting their ass beat, ass jumped from the football team, allegedly. Tweeting out how his frustrations that we didn't wish him happy birthday. And then trying to tell us that other teams did wish him happy birthday. That's what we got going on right now. That's how it feels to be a Tennessee Vol right now. We gave a cat brain damage. We had our teammate shoot someone else on the team. And our quarterback, who was suspended for maybe jumping a drug dealer, he's worried about not getting a birthday shout out. Rock bottom.
So one thing I did learn is that they like have like, you know, classifications for like a kitten's health. And so, you know, like a kitten can be in critical condition. And I feel like this kitten should be in something more severe than critical condition. It has, like, brain damage.
I mean, do you not just take the $4,000 and euthanize the cat, man? Is that not what
like,
you do at this point?
That's what I'm saying. Like, why is the cat still alive? Why is the cat still alive?
The cat's 6 months old. Like, this cat's life is going to be ruined. We just euthanize the cat, man. This cat has been beaten. It's on life. I'd imagine it's on life support. Didn't he, like, give it kidney damage on top of it? I mean, like, I get it. I love my dog. Shout out to Frank. Great pup. I wouldn't want him to suffer with brain damage, man. Man, I'd keep the $4,000.
He had a hemorrhage in his left kidney, a blood clot in his bladder, and a broken tail. He was in the ICU until Saturday when he was released back in Scarborough Shores. They have ICU for cats.
Hey, man, I knew that. I knew they had, like, urgent care. Like, there's an animal hospital near where I'm from, and you had to take the dog there one time. It's expensive, too, man.
He held the cat by the tail and put him in the toilet after he ate all their food. The girl said, his girlfriend, I presume, said, I'm kinda livid with him.
I would say his ex-girlfriend, Seth.
Kinda? You kinda livid with him? You kinda livid with him. He is like abusing animals. He's abusing animals. Like, what is wrong with him? Why is he, like, I don't think I'm overreacting. I was like, why is this guy still on the team? He's not any good. He's going into his third year.
Yeah, how's Josh Heupel not just went ahead and said, like, hey, you're out of here?
How do you not kick him off the team? If I'm Josh Heupel, I kick him off the team and I bring Brandon Davis back.
Brandon Davis, good teammate. Aaron Beasley, bad teammate.
Brandon Davis is a hell of a teammate, and we have Aaron Beasley out here holding a cat by a tail and putting it in the toilet. So I'm assuming that, like, he held the cat by the tail and tried to drown it. And he also had to, like, hit it or throw it against the wall.
Well, I also feel like that's really bad strategy if he was trying to drown it. You can't hold it by the tail and drown it. You just got to hold it by the neck and put it down. We used to have dogs on the farm that would drown cats in the cattle trough, and they would just hold it underwater all the way down. They'd hide up in our barn, Seth, and one of the dogs figured out how to climb up the top of it and run the cats out, and they'd jump down. The big, mean Wamaranger at the bottom would pick it up and put it in the water and just drown them. So Aaron Beasley can't hold it by the tail.
I'm going to go ahead and guess that Aaron Beasley isn't that smart.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to say he's not smart. I'm just going to say he didn't know how to drown a cat. I feel like this is less of a story. Is this less of a story, Seth, if he just would have killed the cat all the way?
I don't know.
Like, I feel like if the cat died, it's less of a story.
Has the story gone national? Like, have national people been talking about it?
I haven't seen if it has. But, I mean, like, if the cat gets killed, there's no GoFundMe. There's no medical bills.
That's true.
So I think it would be less of a deal.
Like, how the hell did he try to put the cat down? That cat like euthanize it.
Parker says that it's on New York Post, so it has gone somewhat national.
It's on national. It's on TMZ. That's
Tucker
great.
Says. Yeah. It was on TMZ. That's right. I quote tweeted that today. Yep. No, it's gone national. I haven't seen the usual national cucks talk about it, but I don't follow any of them. So maybe they have, or maybe they've blocked me. I don't know.
I mean, I just don't even know what to say. Like, he tried to drown a cat. He I guess at some point he hit the cat. He had to have, right? He had to.
I mean, I would imagine he kicked the cat. I imagine he kicked it up against the wall very hard.
He did some kind of brute force trauma to the cat. Like,
allegedly.
Allegedly. You know, I mean, like, what is wrong with you, man? What is wrong with you?
Well, I think you raise a good point. Like, what is Josh Heupel waiting on?
Yeah, to me, this is like one of those things where it's like, why is this dude still on the team?
Due process.
Like, I mean, I guess one argument is that like when somebody is accused of like beating up a female, you don't automatically kick them off the team. Okay, you know, that's fair.
Although sometimes they do. I feel like we did didn't we kick Trayvon Polk off immediately?
And maybe we do sometimes. I feel like sometimes you do when it's bad enough.
I guess they had like enough witnesses there that maybe they're like, okay, it's fine. Like there were some Lady Vols there that said he'd hit her or whatever.
Like, I just don't understand why this kid is still on the team. Like,
well, we didn't kick anybody off that. From the last incident either, right? Like, they're all just suspended for now, right? The guys that were all involved with the alleged jumping of a drug dealer?
Yeah.
Alleged. I mean, that's just the rumors.
Yeah, but, like, didn't all those... Like, I know Kadon Salter's charges got dropped. Didn't the others' charges get dropped, or they're expected to be dropped shortly?
I know Salter's was. I don't know about the others, but, again, I don't know if, like, the police charges versus, like, student conduct matters.
Okay. Like, now Salter is waiting on, like, him to be reinstated as a student, right?
I would imagine so, yes.
Which, like, there's not really, you know, I assumed that now, since he got the charge cleared, like, he's good to go. Like, he'll be good to go and back on campus soon, but maybe not.
Well, I think they still got caught with drugs.
Yes, so Volquez said the legal issues with the other three will be dropped or expunged, sources believe. So... the thought remains that the four will return to the field at some point. So maybe that's why. He didn't kick those guys off and they beat up a human being. So he's not going to kick Aaron Beasley off for beating up a kitten. I mean, just listen to this conversation we've had. The high point of this conversation has been that a guy that plays at a community college in like Kansas or Texas didn't snitch on his teammate shooting him with a handgun. He took a bullet and didn't snitch from his teammate. That's the high point.
That's how you hold it down. That's how you hold it down. One of my favorite parts of that story is that the Uptown bar on campus denied that they were even there at all. Like, nothing happened. They weren't here. We ain't got no cameras either, so you can't prove it. They were just like, nope, nothing happened here. Nothing to see here. Uptown Grill also denied to cooperate with the police.
Shout out to Uptown.
And as Power T points out, the Power T tape, Austin points out, we're also 3-7. We won 3 games last year. This is rock bottom.
I did see our over-under listed at like... what did I see our over-under?
You saw 7.5, but that wasn't like from betting sites. That was like somebody's...
Oh, it wasn't from a betting site?
No, it was somebody like put a formula together. Like, I don't know. Somebody's formula spit that out. That don't mean shit.
Okay, never mind.
That don't mean shit.
I thought it was from a book.
No. It's the worst it's ever been to be a Tennessee fan right now. It's rock bottom. Like I said, we have no recruits. We can't win games. Brian Bauer is looking like QB1. There's nothing for us to hang our hats on right now when it comes to Tennessee football. There's nothing.
Brian Bauer's looking like QB1.
I mean, just reading what people are talking about him taking the most reps, you know, with the first team in the early portions of practice. I mean, I'll say, you can laugh at this, but he's tweeting like QB1.
At least the offense isn't that, you know.
Complicating.
Complex. Yeah, at least it's not that complex. That's good.
He's tweeting like QB1, talking about being healthy and how excited he is and blah, 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 something special, while our other guy's tweeting about not getting a birthday shout out. And your boy Harrison Bailey, I just don't think has the arm strength to throw the deep balls.
So that's what it is with him?
I think. I think. I mean, just with his hitch, his delivery, I just don't think he has the arm strength either to get down.
My feeling of this offense is that it's just nothing but verticals.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying. I think he has the weakest arm of the group. And I don't know about Hooker. Hooker's kind of an unknown, but Hooker committed to Pruitt. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't know if how Hooker fits in this offense. So maybe he's a dark horse. Maybe he could be the starter. I don't know. But
well, maybe with this offense, like, I mean, this is reaching for positives, but like at least Maurer can run. And with this offensive line, our quarterbacks probably need to run a good bit.
Hooker can also run, so like I said, I won't rule him out. But like I said, all the tea leaves are pointing to Brian Maurer, QB1.
That's some good news.
So that's a Tennessee football update, guys. As I call it, rock bottom.
The softball team took a series from a top 10 opponent this weekend. So
how are the ladies?
They were ranked like number 21, maybe, and then they took 2 out of 3 from the number 7 team in the nation. So they're solid. When Ashley Rogers pitches, they can beat anybody. She's pretty stout, so they're pretty good. Kentucky was ranked 7th, I believe.
I saw that Kentucky was highly ranked. I didn't know we took the series from them, though, so that's good.
Yep. So yeah, things are looking good with the football program. I see like hardly anyone talking about the football team.
No one gives a shit. There's nothing to talk about. Like, I mean, like, there's just, yeah, this is the least amount of spring practice coverage I've seen.
I mean, I have not read one practice report, and I care about 100 times more about Justin Powell committing than anything to do with, like, spring practice. Like, that picture of Justin Powell with Chris Lofton, to me, that mattered, like, a million times more than, like, who's going to be QB1.
I can't wait to tweet that out after we beat Kentucky again next year twice.
Yeah.
Since they didn't want him, just like they didn't want Chris Lofton.
Is it not weird they didn't want Justin Powell? Like,
I mean, I don't know if they actually want him or not. I don't know. According to you know, Matt Jones and them, they didn't. So
I mean, I'm assuming that they didn't, but that just seems weird to me. I don't know. But I mean, hey, they didn't really want Johnny Juzang either.
I bet they wish they could take that one back.
I bet they do too.
Johnny Juzang's a baller, man.
He is, but they have Davion Mintz, I guess, so that's cool.
And they also just lost that Askew guy, right? Or whatever his name is.
He's leaving as well?
Yep. Yep. I saw he's leaving the program.
That's like, crazy.
That was like right before we came on and recorded.
That's crazy to me because like he enrolled early. Like he's just now like a senior in high school in age.
He realized he made a bad decision when he was 17. He's 18. He's a new man. He says he's getting out of there too.
That's crazy. I am very surprised by that. So, you know, I don't know if they have a point guard committed or not.
I'm sure they do. But Cal ain't been getting the top-level guys anymore, so prepare for us to kick their ass again next year. At least once. Maybe
yeah,
twice.
At least once. You never know. Maybe twice.
All right, let's get to some patron questions. Patreon.com/ReedsRanch. No new patrons.
That's okay. We love the ones that we have.
We're going to celebrate the ones we do have. Much like recruiting, we're just going to celebrate the guys who are here. We're not going to focus on the ones we don't have. We're going to celebrate the ones we do have. I'm trying to get these patron online poker nights up.
That looks really fun. I want to join. I've been meaning to join.
Yep. I was trying to get at least a 6-man table up tonight to play. So go to patreon.com/ReedsRanch if you want more details about that. This will probably be airing after tonight. But I thought that'd be a pretty fun way to, you know, watch the national championship together, get on some Zoom, play some online poker with the boys. Either way, no big deal. Seth, hit us with some questions, please.
Brother G-Man?
Love Brother G-Man.
Great human being. John's mention of Discovery Zone in a previous podcast got me thinking, what were the top 3 places to have a birthday party as a kid when you were growing up? Discovery Zone is definitely in that top 3.
I love the Discovery Zone. I don't think I actually ever had a birthday at DZ, the Discovery Zone, where I can have fun all on my own.
I did. I do remember.
Shout
out. Great place.
I had friends who had some, but I don't know if I actually ever had a birthday there. That was a great place.
I'm going to put Chuck E. Cheese in there because I love like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles arcade game, and I love playing skee ball.
Never had a birthday party at Chuck E. Cheese either. Kanye wanted to know, Kanye Twitty wanted to know if you knew what the E in Chuck E. Cheese stood for.
I do not.
You don't?
I do not.
If you had to guess, what would you guess?
Entertainment?
That's correct.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Charles Entertainment Cheese was his name.
That's awesome.
My three, I mean, I don't have like specific places. Like DZ was cool, but like the skating ring was always cool.
I did love the skating ring.
A skating ring birthday where they gave you the pizza. It was really hard to beat that. I thought the movies was actually underrated too. Like if you got like to go and like do the little arcade stuff before that and then go watch a movie with your boys.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was kind of cool.
I did like the skating rink a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think that would be Discovery Zone, Chuck E. Cheese, skating rink.
My little nephew's got it made. Every year for his birthday, they get his parents get him a big like inflatable water slide. And all his little friends come over and they just slide him down the water slide. It's so fun. He's got it made. He's got the best birthdays. I imagine now like Jump Jam would be pretty cool, like the trampoline parks.
Yep.
Until someone like breaks their ankle or their forearm. Although, you know, fair is fair. Same thing happened at skating rings, you know?
Yeah.
A trampoline park would be pretty cool. I still haven't gone to one. Have you ever gone to one?
I have not.
I keep wanting to go because like I have like a, you know, my nephew goes a lot. Again, he has the coolest toys. But like I'm just kind of like, I don't know if it'd be weird if I was there, but kind of want to go. And then also don't want to get hurt because I know it is, you know, dangerous. But I just want to do like some flips into the foam pit, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
Maybe play some dodgeball. I know it's dangerous, and my right ankle's a little weak. I don't necessarily have the best insurance either, so I just kind of try to avoid it. Next question, please.
Brother Zachary would like to know, which millennial obsession is dumber, body positivity or cancel culture? I'm going to go with body positivity because it basically, it seems insane to me that like, you know, we would go away from like, you know, being healthy and like, this is the kind of diet you need to have to be healthy. And if like you're overweight, you need to lose weight to like a place where like being obese is okay and should be celebrated and that kind of thing. So it just blows my mind that like that kind of thing is a thing, but it's a very real thing.
I feel like cancel culture is way dumber. The body positivity, man, like, weight's such a bad issue for a lot of people. Either, like, people want to lose it and can't, or people want to gain it and can't. Like, I don't know if people are, like, really skinny that can't gain weight either. And I do feel bad for them. But, like, you kind of got to just live in your body. And, like, sometimes...
That's one thing I will... Yeah, I agree. Like, some people just can't be skinny as a rail.
Like, yeah, some people can't lose weight. Some people got thyroid problems. And, like, I feel like genetics has a lot to do with it, too. Like, I just feel... I don't mind the body positivity. Now, again, like, there's extremes. Like, I don't need us on there, Lizzo, walking around with her ass out and us praising that. Like, that's too far. I don't need the biggest beautiful stuff. I understand all that. But, like, I just feel like I don't want people to, like, hate the way they look.
I agree.
Cancel culture. Like, who's been canceled?
Lately?
Like, who has actually, like, been canceled that they didn't come back from? I feel like for every cancel culture, it's just like, hey, the other side is going to support you. Your fans are going to support you. Morgan Wallen got canceled and then had like the number one album for a month straight.
Justine Sacco. She never came back. She was like the first one I remember that, you know, talked about going to Africa. Hope I don't get AIDS.
All right, who is Justine Sacco?
Just kidding. I'm white. She tweeted that in 2013.
But who is she?
I don't even know who she was. She never, like, it totally, like, ruined her career. She was something in New York, I think.
Like, I feel like Harvey Weinstein ain't ever going to work again. But Seth, one of my favorite movies of all time, maybe my second favorite movie franchise, maybe my first, I don't know, is Scream. I'm still watching Scream. I'm not canceling that.
Yeah.
But he's not going to get to work again.
Well, I think it probably, I don't know. I mean, maybe people should have, like, given Papa John a little bit more of the doubt, a little bit more benefit of the doubt, it seems like.
I don't know, but didn't he have that weird thing a month ago where he was talking about how he's trying to get the N-word out of his vocabulary and like acted like he was struggling with it?
I didn't know that.
Like, he had a thing where he went on like some, like, was it OWN? I feel like he went on like one of the conservative news things and like there was a headline just basically was like, I'm trying to get it out of my vocabulary, and acted like it was so struggling. And then like, yeah, but then the story came out last week where he was, you know, basically set up. They got him.
They totally set him up.
And that he was condemning racism for... the whole 30 minutes before they finally got in with the gotcha.
And what I don't understand, what I've yet to see, and maybe I did see it, and I just don't remember, like, because I read some stuff about it, I never understood, like, why the company that he had hired was trying to set him up.
Maybe he's just an asshole. But they said it was a part of, they had ties to, like, the former CEO that used to work there. So, like, maybe Papa got him out as a co-founder or something. Like, there was a relationship there with, like, one of the co-founders or, former CEOs.
Okay.
So maybe there was, like, something there.
Okay.
But he kept saying his day of reckoning was going to come, and I guess he kind of got it. I will say, also, just cancel culture did ruin the mid-2010 Atlanta Hawks when they got my man Denny Ferry out of here for reading a scouting report. It wasn't even his words. He said Luol Deng, quote, has a little too much African in him. He was just reading somebody else's quote.
Yeah.
And they got Danny Ferry out, but he's back. He's working. It just ruined my, mid-2010 Hawks. No big deal. Kevin Spacey, good point by Troy. Like, I don't think Kevin Spacey's going to work anytime soon.
No. I mean, they can't even find Kevin Spacey. They don't even know where he's at. Can't find him. He's going totally underground. But, like, I feel like he deserved it.
Oh, no, he did. And I say the same, like, it's wild. Like, all of a sudden, now we're going to cancel Woody Allen. I don't know if he's watching that HBO documentary, but.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, over the, yeah.
Over him grooming and having.
Yeah, I mean, I know about it. I didn't watch the doc.
Yeah, but like basically, it. Like he was in love with his stepdaughter, essentially. Groomed her, married her, all this stuff, abused her, all these things. And like, that was a pretty well-known thing.
Yeah, it's been known. I mean, it's like.
I mean, I've known that basically forever. Like there's mid-90s Simpson episodes making jokes about it. Like people knew. But now, now he'll be done. Like they're not showing his films anymore. He has to just, like show his films in like France now because America doesn't want them. But he's old, and we're still going to watch his old movies.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like there's some guys that, like Bryan Singer, the guy that did all the X-Men movies, like, I mean, everyone knew he was, like, grooming young boys, and he's never really been canceled. He got pulled off of a movie, he got pulled off of Bohemian Rhapsody before it was completed, but, like, nothing's ever, like, he's never, like, been totally canceled. Dan Schneider, the guy that did all the Nickelodeon TV shows, who was like basically obsessed with young girls and their feet.
Yeah, he was a weirdo.
Like, he's a super weirdo. Like, he's never been really canceled. I mean, but like, Kevin Spacey, like, he deserved it.
I'll say they got Spacey, they got Cosby. Cosby's done, but like, these guys are old.
They got Louis C.K.
No, he didn't. He's fine. He came back. He bounced back.
Oh, he's back?
Yeah, I mean, he, like, does stand-up now. Like, he just, like, went, like, real far right for a little bit and tried to be, like, a shock guy. But, like, he was still doing stand-up comedy. Like, I don't know if he'll be, like, in big movies or TV shows anymore, but, like, he's still making a living. He had to go away for a little bit, but he came back.
And I guess they're getting to Sean Watson.
Maybe. We'll see.
I think he's up to his 22nd lawsuit.
He's not going to behead it to Carolina. I guess they traded for Sam Darnold, so like maybe he's just going to be stuck in Houston for the next year as he's suspended.
Yeah, I mean, it's been good for the Texans, I guess, because they get to have him. He can't really complain about being the quarterback for Houston now. So, that was good for them.
Some people will get canceled, but for the most part, people won't. I guess they got R. Kelly, too. But it took forever. I mean, it took forever.
It took forever to get him, and, like, everyone knew.
And that's another thing we knew about in the 90s or, early 2000s. I mean, he was running around writing that Aaliyah girl songs while she's, 16 or 17, and he's an old man talking about age ain't nothing but a number. Like, oh, my God. It was all right in front of us. There was a sex tape of him peeing on a girl that was, like, 15 or 14.
Yeah.
So I will say I am I don't have a problem with body positivity. And I do think there's extreme cases. There's outliers that are just like, no, you're obese. You need to try your best to, we don't need to glamorize that lifestyle. Like you said, we don't need to promote unhealthiness. But also, I want people to be comfortable in their own skin. I don't want them to feel like they're trapped.
Yeah.
I think that has a big toll on people. And again, both sides. Because I know enough people that can't gain weight either. They're just real skinny.
Yeah.
Next question.
A brother Troy? How many state capitals can you name?
50.
Okay.
I mean, can you name?
I'm going to say like 40. I don't know. There's probably some. I don't know. Maybe I could get all 50. I don't know.
I mean, if I was betting money on it, like, if I was doing punishment, I would maybe be a little scared of 50, but like 47 pretty comfortably.
Yeah, I feel like I could get 45 for sure.
Try me. Ask me one right now.
Nevada.
Oh, man, I thought you were going to go with Rhode Island. Nevada, that's, oh, no. That's, oh, no. It's Carson City, right?
It's Carson City.
Okay, phew. That was really nerve-wracking.
What is the capital of Rhode Island?
It's Providence.
Oh, that's what I thought. I mean, but then when you said Rhode Island, it made me think that it was something else.
I was really just hoping you were going to say Rhode Island because that's where I was thinking.
What about New Hampshire?
Okay, so New Hampshire would be, oh no, oh God.
I didn't know this one, actually.
Okay, so Maine is Augusta. Mm-hmm. New Hampshire is, it's not Concord.
It is Concord.
Oh, it is Concord, okay. Phew.
It is Concord.
Okay, phew. That's what I was going to have to end up guessing because I was going to say it's not Concord, but I don't have another name. Okay, let's just stop this before I end up getting one wrong.
Let's the largest city in New Hampshire is Manchester.
Is that where Manchester by the Sea is?
No, I think Manchester by the Sea is in New England. Yeah.
I mean, New Hampshire's New England.
Yeah, okay, it's in Boston, yeah. Brother Logan, a.k.a. Logie, John and Seth.
The bear.
What is a good activity-focused date?
Okay, good question. Seth, you're the one in a loving relationship. What do you got?
I would say go hiking. Going hiking, oof, maybe.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, I was kind of struggling to come up with...
Never mind. All right, Logie, I got a couple options. I've heard good things. Now, again, this is going to depend on some things, you know, what kind of girl she is and, you know, what you want to do on the date. But I've always heard, like, painting with a twist is nice. Take them, you go paint a picture, something you can keep. You have a little,
that sounds like a good idea.
You have a little wine there. Bowling, you know, if she's competitive, she's a little bit more athletic, you go bowl.
Yep.
What do you think? Would bowling be a good date? I feel like that's a good date.
I feel like that's a good date.
I went bowling this weekend. I had a great time.
Especially go to that one in the downtown Knoxville.
Yeah, that's the one I was at. Went a little bowling, little group hangout. That was fun.
Yeah, that's a fun place. It's a fun place.
Got a dog, go to the dog park.
Yeah, go to the dog park. You know.
I mean, you could do like a brewery tour. I don't even know if they're still doing that right now during COVID. I know some people like that. But again, if you don't want to like get drunk and drink on it, then you know, take that one off the list.
Yeah, bowling sounds like a good option. At a fancy bowling. At a fancy bowling place. From Brother Andrew, a.k.a. AJ, a.k.a. Gay J, for John, what are your thoughts on the current NBA standings?
Good question. Good question, AJ. Well, my Hawks are a 4 seed. No surprise there. Been telling everybody it's a 4 seed. They're balling. They're really good. They're deep. They're still not healthy, though. I mean, we're still winning without, you know, 3 starters out, Seth, but... I'm not here to ask for any applause. I think the NBA standings right now are going to change in the West just because, you know, LeBron and AD are still going to be out. And that's going to be fascinating to see how far they fall down. Because some poor team's going to have to play them in the first round. That's not going to be fun. I'll say, like, my thoughts on the standings is that I think the East is the top three are really good. I think the Sixers, Nets, and Bucks can all win a championship.
So the Bucks good again?
Yeah, the Bucks are good. Now, we'll still have questions about them until we can see it in the playoffs, but, like, Drew Holiday is going to be so much better than, like, Eric Bledsoe and George Hill was for them, so.
Had he been playing for them?
No, they traded for him in the offseason.
Okay.
They got him from New Orleans. They gave a bunch of draft picks for him.
Oh, they're only 1.5 games back. Okay.
Yeah, no, they've been really good. Now, you know, they're going to have questions about both their coach and their roster when it comes to the playoffs because both of them choke, but that'll be fun. The Celtics at 8, that'll be a fun matchup for somebody, too, if they stay there, but everyone's really jumbled up. Notice I said the Hawks are at 4 and the Celtics are at 8, though. Ooh, that's unlucky for some people. In the West, you know, the Grizzlies are at 8. The Warriors suck. The Warriors only a half game up for the 10 seed. I think the West, like the Jazz, are going to be the worst 1 seed. Now, maybe they get there. Maybe they surprise everybody, but no one's going to be afraid of them. Although them playing in Utah, Seth, they're really good at home. I want to say they've won 22 straight home games. They lost their first 2, and I think they've reeled off 22 straight home games. So, going to be tough to beat them in a series in Utah. And keep in mind, if they go undefeated at home in the playoffs, they'll win a championship. Those are my thoughts on the NBA standings currently.
are you taking the field or the Los Angeles Lakers to win the Western Conference in the playoffs?
Oh, to win the West, I'll take the Lakers.
Okay. So still, you're not going to...
Yeah, just in the West now, I would take the field if you just said the Lakers versus everybody.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. I see that the Minnesota Timberwolves are in last place. Are they ever going to be good again?
Again, they're in last place again. And you said like, be good again. They've never been good except for like that 1 year of KG.
That 1 year of KG.
They are awful, man. Oh, my God. They're so bad.
D'Angelo Russell plays for them?
I don't think he's really played this year. He's been out.
Okay. Somebody named Malik Beasley averages 19.6 points a game.
He's actually pretty good. Malik Beasley, that was the one that got caught up with Larsa Pippen, right?
Is that who that was? Okay.
Yeah. Was trying to bang Larsa Pippen while also like having a woman. It was a whole thing.
Anthony Edwards is averaging 17.6 a game.
Yeah, but he's shooting like 20 times a game.
That's not good. No, D'Angelo Russell has not played much at all.
Now, you know, I do want to see if the Lakers come back healthy, because, I mean, that's going to be important. But I still think if AD and LeBron are there, they'll win. Did you see the trailer for Space Jam?
I have not seen it. I have not seen it.
Pretty good.
It's pretty good.
Pretty good. Any other questions?
So, AJ would also like me to answer where is Minnesota? I don't know where Minnesota is, but as John said just a second ago, we can tell you where his Boston Celtics are. And that is last place in the Eastern Conference.
Love Brother Soda. They're not in last place. They're in eighth place. The Pistons are in last.
I'm sorry. Last place of the playoff teams.
Been a rough year for them. They should have kept Scary Terry. They should have kept Terry Rozier instead of giving Kemba max money. Because Rozier's better than him. Shout out to Michael Jordan.
I've been saying that.
Michael Jordan, everyone made fun of him, and he stole Scary Terry, and you know Gordon Hayward was balling before he got hurt.
And if there's anybody that knows good NBA moves, it's Michael. So
he's back.
Brother Jonah, for both, you have to fight Mike Tyson and knock him out. For every year old that he is, you get $1,000 with a max age of 30.
$1,000 or $10,000?
$10,000. $1,000.
Oh, okay.
So if he's 10 years old, you get $10,000.
Gotcha.
At what age are you fighting him? My question is, do we get the money if we fight him, or do we get the money if we beat him?
You only get it if you knock him out.
Okay. So, I'm probably going to go with like age 10.
I don't think you can knock out an age 10 Mike Tyson.
Maybe not. I don't know. What are you going with?
Seven.
Seven, okay.
Yeah.
That's still $7,000. $7,000 more than I had to start the day.
I just think at age 10, he's going to be a little bit more developed.
Okay.
The 7-year-olds I know in my life, they don't look like they have a strong chin at all.
Yeah. Okay. You know, he might have hit puberty at age 9. Who knows? Who's to say?
Maybe not. I'd just be a little weary of it. I feel pretty comfortable at 7.
Yeah, I say 7 safe. I say that's safe. Brother Techball would like to get the Sith to name 5 NBA players on a team game going again.
I feel like it's a bad year to do that.
Name me a team, John.
You ready?
I'm ready.
All right, let's go with the... All right, this team is currently a playoff team, at least with the expanded playoffs. 10 teams make it now.
Oh, they do? I didn't know that.
I want to see you name... Yeah, they're doing play-in games. 10 versus 9, 8 versus 7, and then the winner of 10 versus 9 plays the loser of 8 versus 7. Let's see you name... The San Antonio Spurs. I will set the over-under at 3. Mm. I'll let you tie for 3. You don't win with 3.
Okay. DeMar DeRozan.
Yep. I knew you'd get him.
How many strikes do I get?
You get 2 strikes.
2 strikes, okay.
This is in honor of BMV. It's a playoff team. Greg Popovich. Legend. Historic franchise.
Patty Mills.
Okay, you got Patty. A little surprised you got Patty. I thought you might, though. That's why I went with 3 instead of 3.5. I was like, okay, you might can get that one. There's one more I think you'll probably get, maybe. But there's no way you're getting a 4. There's no way you're getting a 4.
I mean, I'm... I mean, I'm assuming they got another. They got more than just DeRozan.
Yes, they have more players than DeRozan.
But in that Kawhi Leonard trade. But I'm drawing an absolute blank on who else they. I mean, I have no idea who else they have. Can you give me the hint on who you thought I would get?
You get a strike. You already got a strike.
Yeah, I get a strike. Yeah, I'm out. I don't win.
Been around for a while. I don't know what clues to give you to get Rudy Gay. What would you have wanted to know? Friends with Hank?
Where he played in college.
Related to Hank and AJ?
Related to Hank and AJ.
You'd have gotten that, maybe.
Related to Hank and AJ.
Zach wants to play a new game where we do... box office movies, budget, and gross. We'll try this out. Let's see. Let's go with... let's try this. Looking at these. Hold on. Let's see. Okay. Let's go with the movie.
Oh, Rudy Gay. They had Rudy Gay.
Yeah.
Somebody said a white center. Well, who the hell is that?
You're not going to know who Jakob Poeltl is.
Who the hell's that? They have Gorgie Ding.
They just got him.
Okay. Keldon Johnson. Okay. Trey Jones. Trey Lyles. Also, Trey Lyles apparently also played at Kentucky.
Yep. DeJounte Murray is a good
one. Lonnie Walker IV.
Yep.
And Quindary Weatherspoon. Okay. So a bunch of, like, decent college players.
Okay, let's go with, for the new box office game, let's try this out. Let's go with the 2000 science fiction based on the 1982 novel with the same name. Let's go with Battlefield Earth starring John Travolta, Barry Pepper, and Forrest Whitaker. Three solid names.
Yep.
I have to guess
the budget and the box office results.
Guess the budget on Battleship Earth, starring John Travolta, Forrest Whitaker, and Barry Pepper.
$30 million.
Okay, well, it's a science fiction movie, Seth, so it's definitely going to be more than that. It is estimated up to $103
million. $103
million.
Okay, I'm going to guess.
Science fiction movie.
I was wrong. Just tell me I'm wrong.
Okay, you're wrong.
You don't have to rub it in and make like I'm an idiot.
Okay, I'm sorry. You're wrong.
The box office results, I'm going to go with $25
million. Hey, you're pretty close. $29
million. Okay.
Would you like to take a guess at the Rotten Tomato score?
43%.
Ooh, you're way off here. Three.
Three! Three. Not a good ROI from the production company that was over Battlefield Earth.
Three.
Three. Wow.
It got 3% from critics, 12% from audience. Do you know how hard it is to get 12% by audience?
Yeah, seriously. That's pitiful. I mean, that's just sad. Like, 12%, like, people will watch literally anything, and you got 12%.
You lost $70 million and got a 3% on Rotten Tomatoes. Apparently, T-Dub says it's the Scientology movie.
Oh, okay.
I didn't know they made a Scientology movie. Which I'm unfamiliar with the story. I don't really like science fiction, so I wasn't sure. L. Ron Hubbard book from 1982. Well, I liked that game. Good job by you.
That is fun. That is fun. That's a good game.
3%. I don't know if we're going to be able to match that one moving forward. We might have peaked in episode 1. Seth, I love you. I hope you have a good rest of your Monday. Enjoy the national championship. If you want to play some poker with us, please let us know. Join.
I love you, my brother. It was a pleasure as always.
All right, see ya.
Bye-bye.
This obsession with flying was caused by trying times and I just reach for the green when I get in my feelings. There's this sad underlining, it's better than crying. Yes, I like my own space, the blonde she's my getaway.
Tell me, do you love me a lot? Baby, please don't blow up the spot. I keep wanting to top. Everywhere I go, cause it's hot. Everybody know how I rock. Yeah, scrambling thoughts. Ain't too good at handling loss. I can't even count the candles I bought. And if I lose you, I don't know what I do. I'm a who's who, but with you I improve. Couple screws loose if I'm losing my cool. You can be my shade. I know love it come in phases. I hate to think it's fading. I know it's not true. If anything, I know I got you. If anything, I know we got through whatever roadblock. I ain't gotta feel on the flame to know the stove hot. Put no one above you, love you with my whole heart. You can hear it beat when the beat drops.
Oh, this ain't a real affair. Got me with her, cause you know that you were there. Oh, you just smoking.